is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to a Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Alongside former GM Michael Lombardi up in Jersey, I'm Stormy Bonatoni, holding it down at our Las Vegas studio at Circa Resort and Casino, reunited. And it feels so good, Michael. How are you this morning?
I am good, Stormy. Yes, it is. It's good to be reunited. I was thinking of you. I wanted to talk to you about the Vegas Knights with the great win, and then I felt the sad this morning when I saw they lost to the next game. So, you know, I kind of want to console you on those things. So I have missed you. Yes, it's good to be back, and it's good to have the NFL schedule coming out, even though a lot of teams know what they're doing already.
Yeah, absolutely, and I wish that the Golden Knights could just string two games together for once. That would be appreciated. But nope, they did not want to show up last night. Maybe they will coming up in game five when they come back at home. The NBA and NHL playoffs, we'll talk a little bit about that throughout the course of the show when we have our great guest. Will Hill is going to join us in 30 minutes. We'll also have professional handicapper Mike Somich showing up in hour two. And what would a Thursday be without the maestro himself, Palms Pressing Three? Mike Palm is going to join us later on for the final half hour of the show.
The bus driver of the commercial,
exactly.
Stormy. I mean, well done, too, by you in that commercial. I mean, Mike, I didn't know Mike Palm had that Ralph Cramden ability to drive that bus. It's impressive.
Just on the mic, too. The package is secured. So good. But like you said off the top, Michael, yes, the NFL schedule is going to be revealed tonight. We'll have all 272 regular season matchups on paper delivered tonight, although the leaks are already coming fast and furious. I saw the beat writer for the Packers from The Athletic already dropped what their schedule is going to be. But later on tonight, once everything does come through, VSiN tonight, that crew, Matt Eumanns, Wes Reynolds, and Dave Ross, they're going to give you the breakdown of any updated win totals, any odds adjustments on any of those futures based on how those schedules play out. So you won't want to miss that tonight at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 Eastern. But where things sit for us, Michael, I just wanted to know, as a former executive, when you first got that schedule, when you're looking it over, what are you looking for? What is most impactful for you as you're analyzing the slate for the year?
Well, the first thing is how many quarterbacks you got to face in a row that are really good. You know, that's your first thing. I mean, you want to play. And then how they handled your road schedule. Did they make you, if you're Las Vegas, did they make you fly across country 2 weeks in a row? Mm-hmm. If you're Seattle, they're going to have 31,000 miles they're going to travel this year. You know, how is that those 31,000 miles distributed? Is there a way we could stay in a city to kind of bond our team in October or November when we have two road games on the West Coast or the East Coast? So those are the kind of things you're looking at. I don't think, and then it's the month of September, right? So, you know, if you're the Detroit Lions today and you know you open up with Kansas City, now you're Dan Campbell, you've got to spend time deciding how much of training camp and OTA days you want to devote towards preparing the team to play against Kansas City. Because you only play Kansas City once every 4 years. So it's strange to you. You've not played this. I know you say, well, it's Andy Reid's offense. Well, you haven't played Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. So what you want to try to do in the month of September is handle those situations. Okay, who do we have to play? And then when the schedule comes out, when you're playing Thursday night, you know the month of May, you've got a game plan for that Thursday night game against that team. So you've got to get that in the book. So there's about five or six things you want to do, none of which is counting wins and losses. You're just looking at it purely from an analytical basis. How can we prepare the team the best way?
That's interesting. So it's different from your perspective. You're not going through and saying, okay, that should be a win. That should be a win. Maybe we can steal that one. That's not on your radar at all.
Not at all. Because you don't know the health of the team when you get ready to play them. You know, you're getting ready to play. If Detroit's going to open up with September the 7th against Patrick Mahomes and say he has a sprained toe and he can't play, well, that's a different game, right? So, you know, you don't know about that. You can only control what you can control. The most important thing are those Thursday night games. You know, the Jets are going to play a Black Friday game, right? You know, so you got to figure out how you're handling that. And if it's against a team that you know, if you're playing Thursday night, and you're playing and you're Jacksonville and you know you're playing Houston on Thursday night, that's pretty easy. You kind of have a sense of who they are. Didn't change, you know, Jacksonville didn't change coaches. Houston mm-hmm. did, so you study San Francisco's tape. But if you're playing a team that you don't know, Say you're playing, you're the Atlanta Falcons and you're playing, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders, a team you never play, then you got to spend this offseason, especially if it's on a short week, to get ready for it.
No question. And so you mentioned it. The first game of the season that we're kicking things off with is the Detroit Lions. They're getting 7 points against the Kansas City Chiefs. We also got the Monday Night Football game for the opening week. Jets host the Bills in an AFC East showdown of two potential Super Bowl contenders. Our first look at Aaron Rodgers in a different green for the first time in his career. The Jets are getting 3 in that game. And this is just the start, because you mentioned the Black Friday game as well, just the start of what we anticipate being a number of Jets on primetime games, which is so cool, I think, for the organization, considering I was looking up some numbers. Since 2017, the Jets have played in only 10 primetime games, fourth fewest in the NFL. They might get about half of that number this season or more.
Yeah. Well, once they had the butt fumble, I mean, that kind of did them in, right? I mean, you know, after that, Mark Sanchez's butt fumble on Thanksgiving night, everybody was like, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be hard. But look, it's going to be fun to see Aaron Rodgers. I'm surprised the line is -3. I think if you like the Jets in this game, you better take it. I see this line moving because perception will move it, especially the Jets are the home team. You're telling me if the Jets went to Buffalo, they're going to be a 6-point favorite? I don't think so. So I think the Jets, as I've said all offseason, are a lot closer to Buffalo. I found it interesting in reading through a lot of the clips after the draft this week is that Buffalo really considers Dalton Kincaid more of a slot receiver. Like he, and that's just what I thought they were going to use him as a slot. Inside, keep Dawson Knox on the line, then use Kincaid to be able to block the support edge guy, but still have an impact in the passing game. I think that's going to be a really difficult formation for teams to adapt to, assuming Kincaid stays healthy and they kind of find a way to get a power run game. I think that's the key for Buffalo.
I think that's a great opening weekend matchup, one I was definitely excited about. We also got two games of what's expected to be a triple header on Christmas. The Raiders are going to be at the Chiefs. That's a simulcast on CBS and Nickelodeon. We also know the Eagles are going to be a 7.5-point favorite at home against the Giants. The ESPN late-night matchup, however, yet to be revealed. But Raiders-Chiefs, little rivalry on Christmas.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, you know, my poor grandchildren, they're not going to have Santa. You know, it's going to be – have to wait a day to get Santa in their lives. But – you know, look, it is. We now know the NFL will be the king of Christmas Day. It was last year. It'll be the king of Christmas Day this year. Basketball will take a back seat because these will be great games. And, you know, I think that's fun. Look, who doesn't want to watch football on Christmas Day? I mean, we're all going to get up early because everybody's up early on Christmas Day. Why not start the games and enjoy it, you know? Little eggnog and football. Whoever said there was something wrong with that?
Love it. And then an AFC Championship rematch on New Year's Eve. So one fan base will be ringing in the new year on a high note and the other a little bit sad. But, I mean, I'm excited for that game, too, because a time of year where you know playoff positioning is going to be on the line. Chiefs an early 3.5-point favorite in that game. And then, Michael, we got 5 games for the international slate. All of the games are going to be in London and Germany this year, none in Mexico. I guess there's renovations that are going to be taking place at the Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. But this was something I really wanted to ask you about because weeks 4 and 5, the Jaguars are going to become the first team to play back-to-back games in London. They're a 4-point favorite against the Falcons at Wembley Stadium week 4, getting 3.5 against the Bills at Tottenham Hotspur week 5. And JVT and I were discussing yesterday whether or not, like, do you think that it's an advantage for the Jags to get to spend the additional time out there and everybody be together, whereas your opponent and the Bills for that second week game are going to have to do the travel and going to have to come? Or is it almost a little bit of a disadvantage that you're just out of your normal surroundings and you're stuck in a place that you're not familiar with?
I think it's a great advantage for Jacksonville. You can bond your team when you go away, and you get used to the time difference. For Buffalo, look, it's going to be it's a little different than traveling to the West Coast. You got to get used to the time difference. It'll be a quick flight. I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo just went in there on Friday morning or left Thursday night, got there Friday, played the game Sunday, and came home. So, look, the way these teams travel, I think we make way too much about the travel. The time difference is going to be an element. More problematic is altitude, right? That Mexico City game is at 10,000 feet. That's a problem, you know, and I think you got to handle that. These games over there, I mean, the way we travel, and I'm sure the Patriots will have the week off afterwards if they want that when they come back. Same thing with the Colts. Mm-hmm. when they're over in Frankfurt. But I do know this from watching the World League early in the early 2000s. You know, the Germans love this sport. They love football. They have their own league of football. So I could see this becoming every year. There's two games already over there this season. I think it's going to become more and more like that. We are, the NFL is an international brand. There's no denying it. And you could see it right here. And this puts all these games put more money in the tilt for the players and the owners.
Do you think that there'd ever be an international division?
I do. Yeah. I really do. I think London and Germany will get teams eventually. I sure do. I think because of travel. Look, I think that this whole thing with Jacksonville staying over there is a little bit of an experiment to see if Jacksonville could be based in London. I'm not saying they're going to move the team, but you know, there was a lot of talk about Jacksonville moving to London, being the London team. And when they come to America, they would stay for 2 weeks. They go over there, so it would be a little bit of a scheduling. Their base would be in America in terms of working on the draft and working on free agency, but they would play their games over there and practice over there and live over there. So I think this is a step of an experiment. Look, the NFL doesn't do anything just on a random basis. This is kind of calculated, and I think in the future.
Really, really interesting. And yeah, the Jags do have a good amount of fans out there now in London with how many times they've been playing those international games. We have to take a quick break here, Michael, but coming up on the Lombardi Line, there are three teams yesterday in the NBA and the National Hockey League that had the opportunity to eliminate their counterparts, did not get it done. How worried should the Lakers be that they have Anthony Davis now potentially dealing with a head injury? Plus, the action continues tonight. Can your Sixers get it done? Get your opinion on that in a little bit.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. The Knicks and Warriors both facing elimination last night. Both rose from the ashes to extend their series. Michael, how about the defending champs? A 121-106 win and cover at home. They had six players in double figures. Meanwhile, every Laker in the starting five was -9 or worse. And now questions about Anthony Davis and his health.
You know, what's fascinating to me about the Warriors' win is that Steph Curry was 3 of 11 from the three-point line, and yet they still won. You know, he shot 50% from the field. But to me, when they win and they shoot and he doesn't shoot at that level, you know, to me, that's a hell of a win for the Warriors. And I think the Anthony Davis thing certainly has everybody worried. You know, I think everybody understands that when he's healthy and going, and those are big ifs, the Lakers have a really dominant team. But when he's out of there, they're not the same. So, you know, if he's got to go through the protocols, and hopefully he can pass that. But you kind of got the sense that the Lakers are going to have to do it at home. Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing with the Knicks. Look, when Brunson played as well as he played, I don't know what else you could do in that game, right? I think to me, Brunson was, he played 48 minutes. He dominated yep. the game. I mean, you know, that took a Herculean effort to win that game. I don't know if that could happen another time in Miami.
Yeah, you don't want your star player playing every single minute of the game, but he did put up 38 points, 9 boards, 7 assists. But Brunson, to his credit, he looked built for last night. I hope that he doesn't have to need another 48-minute performance back in Miami, but the Heat still lead that series 3-2. I don't know how you feel about this. While both of these series have one team up by one game, it still feels like the Lakers series in Lakers-Warriors, and it still feels like the Heat series in Heat-Knicks.
Yeah, I do too. But, you know, these games where these game sixes, when you're down 3-2, the pressure's on the team that's got to close it out. For example, tonight in Philly, right? I mean, Philly had – I thought Philly, as negative as I often am about the 76ers, because I've been through the ringer so many years with watching them, and as I posted on Twitter, the Al Pacino, you know, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. I mean, I'm back in again, right? But I am – you know, when you go through it and you watch it, the pressure's on the teams to win the game, especially Miami playing at home against the Knicks, especially the Lakers playing at home against the Warriors and Philly tonight. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on them, because if it goes to a game seven back on the other court, then anything goes. So the Sixers have to kind of do it. I think the Lakers have to do it. That's why Anthony Davis is so critical to them. I think that's the mindset. You know, when you're at 3-2, it's hard to finish this off. It really is. I admire hockey. Those guys, I mean, what, the Maple Leafs were down 3-0 and they fought back to win a game. Now, can they win a second one? But we see it in hockey more, coming back from a huge deficit. Not in the NBA. This will be a huge game tonight. It'll be interesting to see, especially when you go back and rewatch the Philly game. I don't think I saw Boston take more bad shots than they took in that game. In game five, I mean, Al Horford was 0-for-7. Their shot selection on that shot selection chart, you know, was what, the seventh worst of their season in that game. And they shot poorly. Can they do that again? I mean, they were even shooting poorly from the free throw line. I think this will be a closer game tonight.
Well, and that's why this number, when you look at the spread tonight, the Celtics favored by 2.5, I almost think that's overvaluing the Celtics a little bit, because they haven't looked like they wanted to compete. Like, this isn't the Celtics that we saw a season ago under Ime Udoka. And my question to you, Michael, is Joe Mazzulla the best thing that ever happened to Doc Rivers? My goodness.
I think so. I mean, can Doc's out coaching him? I mean, who would have ever thought to say that? You know, everybody in Philly is like, Doc's a liability. Not now. But let's just put it in perspective. Philly shot 50% from the two-point line. They shot 40% from the three-point line. They shot 86% from the free-throw line in the game, in that last game, right? Boston shot, what, 39% from the twos. They 31 at the three-point line. And they only shot 73% from the three-throw line. And they're a good three-throw shooting team. But I think Joe, I think the pressure is on him tremendously. I mean, this is a make-or-break game for him, because the adjustments, the offense, the kind of the shot selection, the matchups. I mean, Doc seems to be one step ahead. I know that sounds strange to say.
Yeah, Missoula's just seemed a little in over his head. You mentioned the lack of adjustments, and a team that had so much of their defense as a reason for their success last year. That's really gone away, it seems, in this postseason.
It's horrible, isn't it? I mean, the Sixers can look like they can get any shot they want at any time. I mean, Harden can penetrate the two-man game they've got going. Maxey's wide open. Look, do I think Philly's going to shoot as well as they did the other night? I think that would be hard to say, but they don't have an answer, really, for a lot of these situations. We thought they did when they put Jaylen Brown on Harden, but that seems to have gone away. There's not been a second adjustment.
Yeah, and I think Harden's actually been a pretty underrated part of this series, because, yes, he has the two massive 40-plus point games, but even the last game where he was just affecting the court and affecting the game in so many different ways. How impressed have you been by James Harden elevating his game this series?
I thought the most impressive thing about the Tuesday night game was he only took 8 shots and he controlled the game completely. I mean, he controlled the game completely, and their distribution, their ability to, you know, to spread the ball around and spread the court. And he made all the right plays at the right time. I was really, really impressed with him. I mean, he didn't try to force it. You know, he wasn't trying to say, okay, I'm going to be the three-point shooter. I'm going to win this game. He kind of let it come to him. And then he made all the right passes, and he got Tobias Harris engaged. He got, you know, Maxey engaged, which are the two key components. And I got to tell you, you know, I'm a Tatum fan, but Tatum, if you're a Boston fan, it's frustrating to watch him, because he can be sensational, but he can also be just plain out bad.
Philly was a +260 underdog in the series prior to that last game, flipped to now -175, between -175 and -195. Why? Because the all-time leader in all-time when it comes to best of seven series, when a series is tied at 2, the team that wins game 5 to go up 3-2 takes the series the vast majority of the time. 187-41, the team that wins game 5 after being tied at 2.
I've lived through too many of those up 3-1 against Larry Bird and have to make it a game 6-6, you know, and they come back here and win. So, like, I'm tainted by that. I think tonight if they don't win tonight, I think it's going to be really hard for them.
Well, do you think they get it done tonight at home, though?
I don't. I really don't, because I think the reason Boston's favored tonight is because the book is saying Boston's not going to shoot as poorly as they did the other night. I mean, Horford's not going to go 0-for-7 again, right? I mean, you know, their shot selection was horrible. I mean, they didn't have any flow to their game. I mean, Brogdon, to me, if they don't, they should play Brogdon more than 26 minutes. I think White hurts them more than he helps them.
Second game of the ESPN doubleheader coming up tonight. Nuggets, Suns, Phoenix facing elimination at home. They trail Denver 3-2 in the series. The line, Suns favored by 3.5. No real movement there. And looking at the betting splits page here, Michael, 80% of bets, 88% of money on the Nuggets. Money line, plus 135 to finish the job.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think to me that scares me. I don't want to be on the side of the public on that one at all. But I could see why people are playing that, because I think, as we often talk about, 7-game series, the best teams usually win. And we get caught up in the minutia of game, you know, who's up 3-2, who's up 2-1, all that. But eventually the best team wins. And I think that is Denver, the best team, because they have a lot of things. And look, if Murray doesn't play to the level that he did in the last game, it's going to be difficult. But Jokic is so darn good. I mean, it's going to take a Herculean effort by both Booker and, you know, and Kevin. I mean, Landry Shamet won the game, what, 2 games ago. I mean, he had to make that fourth quarter run or else they wouldn't have won that game.
Michael, you talk about needing that Herculean effort. Kevin Durant's point prop tonight, 30.5. Devin Booker's, 31.5.
That's up to 71.5. It's up to 71, 72 now, right? 30. I mean, remember we did it was at 69 the last time we did the show together. I mean, it just keeps going up and up. And I don't know why you wouldn't bet the over.
Right, exactly. Because if they're going to have offense, it's got to come through those two guys. Also, the third most bet prop, Nikola Jokic to record a triple-double. The yes is plus 115. He's got 4 this postseason. Could he go back-to-back games, though, is the question.
Yeah, I like Brogdon over 14.5. What, we have Brogdon over 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Okay, I like that one. And I love him over 14.5 points. I think he's the guy. To me, I don't know why he doesn't start. I think White should come in off the bench. He was a better player off the bench last year. I think Brogdon's – he's the guy that gives the Sixers more trouble than anyone.
Yeah, he's coming off a poor game 5, 7 points, 3 boards, 4 assists, but had 19, 8, and 2 the last game in Philly. 15-plus points every other game except that last one. So Michael Lombardi thinks he's going to bounce back. We'll see if he does. Coming up, we've got the one and only Will Hill. He's so busy with the schedule release. You know he was working on building it, Michael.
Yes, I'm shocked, yeah. He'll be on the show. I think he'll be on all the networks tonight, too.
We'll get that talk and his picks next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on the Lombardi Line. Remember, everybody, it's the best time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get the daily email where you're recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests, plus unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. We also now have a top VSiN experts leaderboard where you can view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand any given week. For VSiN Pro Picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Just $9.99 when you subscribe at VSiN.com/subscribe. You can also get all of the picks from our guest if you miss them any day of the week when he's on the program. Will Hill, VSiN contributor, at not the Will Hill on Twitter, joins us now. And the schedule release coming up later tonight. I know, Will, you have been extremely hard at work.
Instrumental in it. Yes. Yes. How do you feel about the Lions being on the opening? I mean, isn't this a little bit of a reach here? I mean, are we sure that you want Detroit, who didn't make the playoffs last year, to go into Arrowhead? I mean, are we just getting ahead of ourselves here a little bit?
Well, first of all, I'm sort of intimidated to be on with both of you after watching that commercial. This is like being on with Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks. I mean, the
acting out of here.
You two is just,
yeah, right.
It's
yeah.
Really intimidating.
Well, I mean, you weren't in Vegas, or else you would have been the star of it. I mean, I'm sure you probably produced the schedule too. I mean, well, you've been busy with the Lakers. I understand. But anyway, aren't you surprised by that? I mean, I think Detroit's a wonderful story, and I'm not saying they won't, but I think we're getting ahead of ourselves here. I mean, they did give up 350 yards rushing to the Carolina Panthers at the end of the year.
They're a fun team in terms of like they're a good offense. I think after having a dud last year with Bills Rams and the Bills just ran them off the field, I think they just want maybe an entertaining game. And I think this total's a little low. It's up at 51.5 at FanDuel. To me, that's low. To the Chiefs, are going to score in the 30s. The Lions are usually going to get their 24 to 28 points. I know it's Goff outdoors, but it's Goff probably in good weather here. I think this will be a shootout, so should be a fun game. I see the lines move from 7 to 6.5 already, which is interesting. It's fun that we even get to talk about these games and these lines. Maybe there's some backdoor potential with the Lions, but should be a lot of offense here in this first game, I would think.
Hey, the Lions won 8 of their last 10 to close out the year. They're going to build on it, Michael.
I get that. I do. But, I mean, walking into Arrowhead in a national audience with all the fanfare, this is a giant mother may I step up. And, you know, are you good enough? And I do think, you know, Will's right. I mean, they're offensively, they should be good. They get another running back in Gibbs. They've got Montgomery. You know, they've improved their offensive line is can play well on the road because they've got a good offensive line. But I just worry how big of a giant step this is for them. But look, it will be entertaining for sure. I just think to me, I would have liked to see, you know, I thought it was going to be, you know, Cincinnati, or it was going to be or even Philadelphia, or another team that would be in there to kind of match it, guarantee yourselves a great game. Because it wouldn't surprise me. Now, let's be honest. It wouldn't surprise me if they went in there and floundered like they did against New England and got shut out. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, I would think Detroit would at least get their points. I mean, that's a good offense. When they're in good conditions, they can really score. I
they
think
had good
Belichick
conditions against New England.
Belichick knows how to play golf, though. He really knows how to play golf.
Well, as long as we don't have a defending Super Bowl champ that lays an egg like we saw with the Los Angeles Rams last year against the Bills. So, but okay, enough about football for now, because I know you have a lot of action coming up in the NBA later on tonight and tomorrow as well. Let's start with Michael's 76ers. You're taking the points.
He went right into the trap. He's in that trap.
For it again. This team's done it to me in the past.
He is the second time.
I know, but I like the. I just like the way they're playing. I think their roster's deeper than probably I gave it credit for, too, with the guys like House and
Well, how would you know that he never played House? I mean, he never played House during the year. Like, he played him early, and then he stopped playing him, and it was like all of a sudden he got regulated to the – I mean, he was playing Shake Milton most of the time. So I don't know how you can be mad at yourself. The guy doesn't – you can't figure out Doc's substitution pattern whatsoever.
Well, he might be the better coach in this series because Mazzulla looks shook. Mazzulla looks a little bit like he's a deer in the headlights. I mean, he was kind of thrown into the fire with his job. The fact that Harden's making shots, I think, does a couple things. Instead of, like, they run a lot of pick and roll, and usually when he's not making shots, you just go underneath and live with the result. The fact that he's making shots makes Harden a great passer, a good playmaker, and it's hard to go over a screen without contact, and it really plays into the fact that Harden can draw contact. You know, he drew a couple three-point shooting fouls the other day, which are just terrible for the defense. And I don't know that Boston has a good matchup for Embiid. Horford has done a good job on him in the past. But I think at Horford's age, it's starting to catch up to him this every other night in the series, and we saw him shoot the ball terribly last night. I think Horford's wearing down, and Embiid's getting healthier. Rob Williams, for whatever reason, was one of the best defensive players in the league last year. He doesn't look the same physically. You know, Grant Williams obviously not strong enough to guard him. I don't know if they'll go with the approach Brooklyn went with, where you just put a guard in front of Embiid and you try to front him, you just deny the ball. To me, Philly, look, that building, you know this, Michael, that building's going to be crazy tonight. They have not been to a conference finals in 22 years. Last year was a catastrophe against Miami. 2 years ago against Atlanta was one of the worst series losses you could ever have. That building is going to be nuts tonight. They better get it done tonight because I don't see them winning again in Boston, a third game. But I think they get it done tonight. I just think that they're a deeper team. You got guys like Tucker. Tucker brings toughness to the team, and he's a guy that just winning seems to follow him around wherever he goes, whether it's, you know, the Rockets where they were a one seed, the Heat were a one seed, the Bucks won a championship. He's got a chance to get to a conference finals here. I like the Sixers team. I'm going to go for it. I think the Sixers are going to the conference finals tonight.
Yeah, I think you're falling in the trap. I don't think Boston's going to shoot as bad. I agree with you. I think this is a must-win for Philly. I think all the pressure's on them. And the house was loud when Embiid won the MVP, and they got blown out in the first quarter, and they got blown out in the rest of the game. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not getting lured into the trap. I'm optimistic. I agree. I thought they played as well as I've ever seen them play. But it's still Boston, and there's something about game six with Boston that irks me.
Well, you have the 76ers getting it done, but not so confident in the Denver Nuggets tonight. The Suns at home, backs against the wall, facing elimination. They're a 3.5-point favorite. But you're going moneyline tonight?
Yeah, there's a minus 143 out there at Bet Rivers. I just think Suns are these are really pretty much equal teams. Denver's obviously a little deeper. They got more continuity. But to me, these are both top-heavy teams. You got Booker and Durant, Jokic and Murray. It's the role players. And we've seen this forever with the NBA playoffs. The role players typically play much better at home versus on the road. And, you know, we saw Shamit step up in game four, the Jock Landales of the world. Those guys are invisible on the road, but they play well at home. Same thing for Denver, the Porter Juniors, the Bruce Browns. I just think you're going to get more out of the role players. For Phoenix, I think we win. We get a game seven here. I think Phoenix wins and forces a seventh game. I don't know how sustainable this is with Durant and Booker. I mean, there's a difference. You always say this, Michael, that there's a difference between a hope and a plan. It's not much of a plan that Phoenix has. It's more hope that Booker and Durant basically hit every shot and play every minute. They don't have a lot of depth. I do think they actually play a little faster without Paul. I think a lot of people probably overestimated the loss of Paul. They play with a little more pace when he's out of the game, especially at home. Teams tend to run more in transition when they're at home. So I think Phoenix wins tonight, and we'll probably get a competitive game seven. But ultimately, I think Denver wins a game seven, though.
All right, where are you on the Where are you on the Lakers-Warriors? I mean, Anthony Davis, we're not sure if he's in concussion protocol or not. Yeah, well, hopefully he does. So where are you on this game?
Both teams, I think, are tired. I'd rather be tired and big than tired and small. The Warriors are exhausted, too. Remember, they've played every other night since the night before the NFL draft, Wednesday. So that's, what, 9 games in, like, 16 days? The Lakers at least had a little break before this series as they won in 6 against Memphis. And it's funny how much this is similar to the Memphis series. Steal game one on the road, get blown out in game two, win game three and four at home, have to steal game four, and then get blown out in game five. It's following the same exact pattern. It's crazy how similar it is. They blew Memphis out in game six. I don't know that they run away from Golden State. Golden State's obviously better than Memphis, and they're a great champion. I just think they're going to get more calls tomorrow because we saw Steve Kerr politicking for calls before game five. It worked. I was on Golden State last night. I have to say they got a really friendly whistle. Ham after the game said, hey, I don't know what's a foul anymore. So he's politicking for calls. I think L.A. will be aggressive tomorrow. They'll attack the basket. They'll get calls. And I think the Lakers win and close out the Warriors tomorrow.
They have been perfect at home in the postseason and perfect at home against the Warriors specifically between the regular season and here in this round of the playoffs. And you do hope that Anthony Davis is okay. All of the reports certainly indicate to this point that he's going to be in the lineup, but he's been so critical to this Lakers team on both ends of the court. How about the Heat? And Knicks stay alive last night, beating Miami 112-103, compliments of their star Jalen Brunson playing every single minute of that game. But can they do it again?
I'll take the 5 here. I don't think Butler's healthy. He only had 12 shot attempts. He didn't look like he had the lift, the explosion in game four. Miami was able to win the game because they got a million offensive rebounds. That was a bad loss for the Knicks. But last night, only 12 shot attempts. To me, this is not Superman Jimmy Butler that we saw against Milwaukee. He couldn't take over the game. I think that ankle's really bothering him. And if he's not by far the best player in the series, I do think the Knicks are a deeper team. I know Miami shoots it better. They're tough. They got a great coach. But I'll take the 5 here. I think we're going back to MSG for game 7 just because Butler is not healthy to me.
Man, I got dogged on the Heat money line last night.
I think Jules Randle's healthier now. I think he looks better to me, Will.
Played a good third quarter last night. They needed it too. And that game got too close for comfort. You figure when you're up 20 in the third quarter, you know, the other team's down 3-1, they'll go away. But that game got a little closer than the Knicks wanted.
I would just like to see, you know, everybody make some shots. Those games in this series have been hard to watch. Thank you, Will.
Oh,
appreciate you.
Thanks, Will.
Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks. Appreciate it. See you.
Get out of here. We gotta take a quick break, but we have a writing spotlight coming up next. Michael Lombardi has a great article on the Washington Commanders up at VSiN.com. We'll break down some of his analysis next.
Yeah. This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the authorized gaming partner of the NBA, hits the court with a special playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25, even if you miss one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the playoffs. You can log in now or sign up and opt in to get back a $25 bonus bet if one leg of your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Stormy Bonantoni and Michael Lombardi with you. Michael, you have a new article up on the website. You put it out yesterday. And it's called, Are the Washington Commanders Ready for Battle? And I got to tell you, before we get into the nitty-gritty of this article, I love how you always are able to tie things together that you wouldn't expect. And that you're on a road trip for hours and hours and hours and on your way back from Vegas to the East Coast, and you somehow tie together Winston Churchill and the Washington Commanders. Take us through it.
Well, I'm driving on Route 70 past Elliott's famous landmark there at Columbia, Missouri, where he went to school. And there's a little town called Fulton. It's off the side of the road, off one of the exits. And that's where Churchill gave the Iron Curtain speech. And Westminster College, which makes no sense. You know, why would he come to this middle? I mean, literally, you either fly to St. Louis or fly to Kansas City. It's not an easy place to get to. Apparently, he flew to Washington and then took the train with Harry Truman there. So it reminded me of the quote. And what it really tries to center on is the fact that there's a lot of pain and suffering that has gone on in Washington, and the despair that you go through, perhaps you can come out the other end. And when I think of Washington, I think of a team that is really not that far away. I mean, understanding they have the two biggest concerns. One of the things I've always looked at, I've learned a lot working here at the network, is I've learned that the over totals, the win totals are always a little bit different, because it really comes down to two things. Who's your quarterback and who's your head coach? And when I see Washington at a 6.5 win total, when I know they had a really good defense last year and they have really good skill players, I hearken back to that. And I think that's the point of my column, that for all the turmoil that's gone on in Washington, removing Snyder is going to be a blessing. But are they good enough at quarterback? Are they good enough at quarterback? At head coach.
Yep, exactly. You're right. The relief the organization will receive when former owner Daniel Snyder is gone should give this team better results. The facts are simple. The team's more talented than that 6.5 win total that's been posted. And when you talk about those concerns with head coach and quarterback, Sam Howell, unproven, and Ron Rivera has yet to show that he can be a winning head coach in this league. It's been since 2017 that he's had a winning season. He, of course, takes the Panthers to the Super Bowl in 2015. They have a losing season the next year, a winning season, and then haven't been able to put anything solid together since then.
No, and I mean, right, so the quote really goes, the quote says, I pass with relief from the tossing sea of cause and theory to the firm ground of results and fact. And I think ultimately that sums up Ron Rivera, right? He's got to have results and facts now. He can't just the theory that Dan Snyder's hindered them, right? And so last year I'm watching them and I'm saying, how could they play with that offensive line? They don't look good, you know, and they went with it anyway. This year I'm saying, look, I think why didn't they trade for Swift? I mean, they have there's no running back on their team that averaged over 4 yards a carry. Now you can blame it on the offensive line, but they don't have a legitimate big time back. The Eagles just got a legitimate difference maker, a nickelback, somebody who would be their J.D. McKissick. Because remember, Stormy, when J.D. McKissick was playing for them, they were good. He got hurt. Now he couldn't pass their physical. But, you know, Seattle signed him and they had to bring him back. They matched it. It was one of those change flipped them. So I think they really needed that. Why didn't they make that move? Why wouldn't they go after that? And are they good enough in the offensive line? To me, there's a lot of questions. And then where are they on offense? I mean, this is really the first time Eric Bieniemy is going to have a chance to call his own plays and run his own offense. And we're going to find out how that works.
How significant do you think that is for this offense, having a new voice in there, and Eric Bieniemy, somebody who we know the success that the Chiefs have had offensively, but has it really been Eric or not? You say he has the opportunity to prove himself. What kind of a benefit could that be for an offense if he really is successful?
I mean, if he's everything we think he is, then he should take this quarterback. I mean, remember when North Turner was an assistant coach at the Rams, and he took over for Mike Shula in Dallas for Jimmy Johnson's third season. Nobody knew who North Turner was, but that offense with Troy Aikman all of a sudden became really good. I mean, everybody could say, well, he had Troy Aikman. Well, the year before they had Troy Aikman, they couldn't move the ball. They had Jerry Rome, and they had Mike Shula, and they couldn't move the ball. David Shula, excuse me. They couldn't move the ball. So once that change happened, it manifested itself in the performance. We're going to find out. Now, I think it's hard for him because he's got Sam Howell, rookie quarterback. Guy started one game. But I question this. I mean, they watched Carson Wentz play early in the year. They watched him in training camp. And then they put him back in during the season. Like, are we watching the same game? Would you have ever put Carson Wentz back in a game after you watched him? Especially after you watched if you watch the Washington-Tennessee tape, you have to ask yourself, how did they lose to Tennessee? And it was Wentz's stupidity, is making mistakes, throwing the ball away, doing crazy things. Like, I would never put him back on the field.
I know this reference is going to go over your head, Michael, but there's a quote in the movie Mean Girls where this girl is trying to say fetch as like a trendy little slang. And the thing is, like, stop trying to make fetch happen. Stop trying to make Carson Wentz happen. We all know that he's out and over. It's done.
Great point.
Like, let's move on from Carson Wentz as a starting quarterback in this league. He's not. So now you have the young guy in Sam Howell and trying to make things around him work. You need him and Bieniemy to click. And you talked about not going out and getting DeAndre Swift. Is there somebody out there that they could still get potentially before the season so that they have a little bit of support in the running game for their young quarterback?
I would be all over Dalvin Cook. I mean, he's available. You know, he's $10 million cap. They're trying to move him. Now, you know, I don't know what the ask is, but it can't be that high. And to me, they need that back. They need that loose play back. Antonio Gibson's not that guy. He's good, but he's not there. Robinson is just, to me, he's going to get you 4 yards. He's going to get what's blocked. Like, they need somebody who can hit a home run. They need somebody who can make a difference. And I think, you know, the other area that was concerning for them last year, Stormy, they couldn't create turnovers. They only had 9 interceptions. They were the worst teams creating turnovers. In their 6 losses last year, of the 8 losses they had, they didn't create a turnover.
Which is interesting because we think of this Washington team as a good defense, right? And Ron Rivera is a defensive-minded head coach. It's surprising they haven't been able to have success in turnover margin.
They can't get the ball out, and that's a problem. And so even though their numbers are good, you know, if you're not creating turnovers, when they created turnovers, I mean, look, they beat the Super Bowl, not champions, but the Super Bowl contestant, the Eagles. They beat them. They forced 4 turnovers in that game, right? So, like, when they do that, they're a good team, but they don't do it all. That's why they drafted Emmanuel Forbes, because they needed somebody to come in to kind of make plays on the outside. And their offense has got to be able to generate. The other thing they gave up is they led the league in giving up 19 plays of over 40 yards. You can't do that if you're a good defense. You can't give up explosive plays like that. That's one a game. That's more than one a game.
And, Michael, at the very end of your article, while you say you believe this Washington Commanders team has the talent and should be better than that 6.5 win total, you still say, I'm not betting it, though. I don't think that's something that I can have confidence in. And especially, too, when you look at the strength of schedules going into next year, they are in that upper quadrant of a more challenging schedule based on last year's opponent win percentages.
Yeah, I mean, I know I see that, but they don't have, you know, I mean, I went through it in the column, too. I mean, you know, they got some gimme putts on the schedule that they should be able to. But at the end of the day, I have no faith in the head coach. I probably have more faith in Sam Howell than I do in the head coach. Because, I again, goes back to, you know, what you said earlier is they're trying to make it happen. Like, you're watching Carson Wentz. You didn't make a substitution. He had to get hurt before you took him off the bench. You know, and everybody says, well, Rivera's got this calming effect. I don't see it. He just stands there. There's nothing in the game plan that makes me feel like he's got control of the game.
Michael, I never want to be that person that's calling for a head coach's head. That's just not the way that I am. But I'm very surprised that he's been able to hang on to this job as long as he has.
Yeah, I mean, look, and the only reason he has is because he's benefited from the disarray. You know, he's benefited from Snyder's problems. And so that's why he's gotten a fourth year of really not turning this franchise. I mean, he's in year four. He's supposed to have built a winner. This is what he's supposed to do. This isn't calling for his head. This is evaluating his performance.
Well, a very important year, not only for the Commanders as a team, but certainly for their head coach and his future under new ownership coming into this 2023-24 season. Time for a break. We will be back with hour two of the Lombardi Line in a moment for my favorite segment, No Way, No Doubt, because as you know, I say no doubt more than you do at this point, Michael. Yeah. Our relationship has taken that turn, but it's going to be a fun segment looking at some stuff with the Jets, Eagles, as well as the Titans. You won't want to miss it. Coming back on the Lombardi Line, this is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.